Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, 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 amen. Over and over again, we say that New Beginnings is not just for the young. We'd like to thank you for tuning in. We are New Beginnings Ministry. We're here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock, and we do thank you for participating. Amen. It's almost like sitting around a table and just sharing on the Word of God, which is food for us on our journey. We do thank you once again. As we continue on, we are in New Jersey. We do thank you for sharing with us. We also thank Pastor Miles for just, you know, he seems like he's always ready and on fire for the Lord, and he is going to be speaking this evening. And we thank you. We want to thank him personally for pitch hitting for Bishop Storrs from out of West Virginia. Amen. As we move forward, we like to let you know that those who are tuning in, we are an interactive Bible study. What does that mean? That means that you have the opportunity of calling in and participating. When the mics are open, you can comment, or whatever the case may be. Amen. All the mics are open. And we do ask that since the mics are open, make sure that you mute your mic. And when you want to talk, just unmute it on your end. We're going to leave it open on our end so it doesn't become a distraction for the speaker. Amen. If you would like to hear this message and share it with someone else, go to Blog Talk Radio, and then you type in We Can Begin Again and go into New Beginnings Ministry, and you can archive any of the messages that we've heard, even the one this evening. Amen. There's nothing better than sharing the Word of God. Amen. We become a testimony, and we are encouragers one to another. So, again, we do thank you. We're going to ask that, I don't know if Mother Gloria is on. I did call and ask her if she'd, we communicated earlier. I left a message about praying. Mother Gloria, are you on? Amen. Okay, but I'm sure she's going to be on with one of these numbers. Amen. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for those who are asked for prayer. Lord, Father, we ask for the sick and afflicted. We, those who ask for prayer, we have Pastor Paul Robinson. As we continue to keep him up in prayer, we have Stuart Hawthorne. We have the Palmer family, the Hobbs family. We have Yolonia from out of Carolina, Corey from out of Maryland, Katrina from out of Maryland, Wendell Wilborn from out of West Virginia. We have we are going to keep a prayer for our brother Norman. We continue to keep in prayer. We do thank God for his testimony and what he does for the body of Christ. We are asking for prayer for all those who have called in. You know who they are. Father, we ask for healing in the name of Jesus. We ask, Heavenly Father, Lord, that your word becomes a healing balm to each and every one of the ears, Heavenly Father, that may be listening, and even those that are not listening, Father, we know that you are God, Heavenly Father, who's omnipresent and omnipotent, and we thank you for being that type of God. Lord, Father, you know that what they're in need of, and we ask, Heavenly Father, that you would just minister to their bodies, whatever it is, Heavenly Father, that is they're going through, Father. We're asking, Heavenly Father, that they have a testimony, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask that you bless the speaker this evening, Heavenly Father. Let it the words that he speak, Heavenly Father, be a not only a testimony, Heavenly Father, but also be words of encouragement, Heavenly Father, to the hearers this day, Heavenly Father. We give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, and amen. We're going to move on over into New Jersey, and the next voice you'll hear will be Pastor C.A. Miles from Hackensack, New Jersey. Pastor Miles, are you there?
Yes, sir, Brother Moderate. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Very clear. May God bless you.
Outstanding. I'm gonna ask you personally not to mute your mic. I'm gonna pick on you for a little while. You know you're not right by having Reverend Mother on to pray before I come on. You know what she do to me. Don't do that again. Huh? You don't.
Well, I have not heard her. I have not heard her yet. So, you know, I know she did
okay.
Say she's going to be on. I don't know if
okay.
She's traveling or whatever it may be, but you know, that's why I went on and prayed. But you know, she is always selected as a prayer mm-hmm. warrior on the first of the month.
Yes, and if she should happen to come online, please let me know. And I wanted to pray before we move out because you know what a praying mother does to me. You know.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. For all of you who are listening, I greet you all in the name of Jesus Christ, the bread in the hungry land, the bridge over troubled waters, Mary's little baby, to keep things basic and plain, not trying to be all big and theatrical and a Bible college speaker. That's not me. I believe in keeping it to where a baby can understand the word. I don't care how many letters you have behind your name. If they don't understand it, they don't understand it's not going to help them. And as I said in time past before, I wouldn't know what a theological seminary is. Because them said to me, I'm a theological seminary school. Never been to one. But see, I've been on that school called Bended Knee and studying myself to show myself approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth. But on tonight, you may have heard this theme before. If you heard Tough Mind and Tender Heart before, you said, well, I may have heard that before. Yes, you probably heard it from me on Blog Talk Radio on March 8th, 2018. But I want to come to it from a different angle. It's going to be basically the same scripture. But I'm coming to actually talk to the apostles, the prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And you may say, well, I'm not one of those, but according to the scripture that I'm going to read, you fit into that category. So because we're living in a day and a time right now where anything goes. And how are we going to raise children with morals, principles, and standards when anything goes? Now, on this month, we're coming to the close of the month. I don't know about the state in which you're in, but I'll let you know I'm in New Jersey. And it's heavy in the state of New Jersey and in New York. Because I can look, I can walk down the street and look, and I can see the George Washington Bridge. And they're celebrating Pride Month heavy around here. And Pride Month is, I like to call it that alternative lifestyle. You may know it as that LGBTQ community. And they're really pushing their agenda heavy. And how are you to respond to that? Now, some of you may not have known this, but I'm going to tell you also this month is Black Music Month. Did you know that? Did you know back in June 7th on 79, Jimmy Carter, the president at the time, declared this Black Music Month? Has that been pushed in your state or in your community? Or have you really heard about this Pride thing? Now, Black music is not just for black-skinned people. We have some other ethnicities that really can sing some soul music, can sing some blues, some jazz, and play them instruments. But is that being pushed? No, what's being pushed is a community called Pride. Now, like I said, I don't know where you're at in the land and country, but here where I'm at, that's being pushed heavy, especially the news media. But I want to do something on today. I want to, since it's an interactive Bible study, we're going to go through the Bible. And I want you, if you're taking notes, and I said this last time I was on, I think I filled in last time as well, Proverbs 4:7, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. I'm going to stop right there for right now. Wisdom is the principal thing. Get wisdom. But whenever we actually hear 4:7, we always hear, in all you're getting, get understanding. So they always come with the last part of that verse. Let's come with the full thought. In order for you to actually get wisdom, you have to get understanding. Then once you get proper understanding, and then you execute that proper understanding, see, now you got some wisdom. Look at them old mothers. Look at that praying mother that come on the first Wednesday of every month. She got proper understanding. She know how to pray. She know how to get a prayer through. Because she got proper understanding and she applies it, that's wisdom. So, but what I want to do with you today is please turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 10. And we're going to go in verse 16. This is one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. Really, this is, if I could classify it, my second favorite. My first favorite one I just can't hold back is Jeremiah 20th chapter, verse 9, about the fire shut up in my bones. I just can't, I can't hold back, and I don't hold back, because no rock going to cry out for me. It's not happening. But if you are there at Matthew 10th chapter, verse 16, now I'm reading from the King James text. It says, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye there for wise as serpents, and be harmless as doves. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents, and harmless as doves." And as you already know, we're talking about a tough mind and a tender heart. Now, let's set aside what I talked about, what this month is actually representing, the Pride Month. Let's set aside the Black Music Month. And let's deal with this from a personal standpoint. And I want to deal with it from a personal standpoint of, let's say, your apostles, your prophets, your evangelists, your pastors, your teachers, and even you whom said you don't fit in that category. You fall up under the category of sheep. So if you're listening under the sound of my voice right now, this applies to you. And this here is what I like to call a universal principle of what Jesus had told his own disciples when he sent them out on a mission. If you read chapter from the first verse all the way down to the verse, you see he told them to bring certain things, leave certain things, do certain things of that nature. But that's not the angle I wish to attack it. I normally do it that way. But some of us don't know how to handle certain situations when we're in certain things. Brother Moderator, I'm going to pick on you again. So if you got your mic muted, please unmute your mic. I believe it was sometime last week when I was on my job and I was heated. Do you remember that? And I called you.
Yes.
And I don't remember exactly what the situation was, but you ministered to me on that time. And what you did at that time was you gave me a dose of the scripture here. Because one of the things that you actually said to me, you was like, "Pastor, you got to understand who you represent and who you representing again." Remember telling me that?
I do, sir.
Okay. So in such situations, sometimes you have to taste your own pot. But you can't taste your own pot unless you get something put in the pot. And this scripture was one of the very first scriptures that I had preached on, and Brother Moderator made me taste my own pot by ministering back to me. And after he ministered to me, I said to him, before I had to go back to work, I said, "If you can't say amen, say ouch." And I said, "Ouch." Brother Moderator, do you remember that?
I do remember that.
And we laughed. Did we laugh?
Yes, we did.
We said, "Amen, God bless him." Got the phone, correct?
Yes.
The reason why I was that way, because I did not apply the scripture. So I'm going to show you how to apply this scripture in your life so that you don't get to where I was. Look at what Jesus said. "I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves." Well, see, first of all, you have to take a self-assessment of yourself. Who are you? Are you a child of God, or are you a child of the world? If you are a child of God, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you believe that he died upon the cross, and you believe that God raised him from the dead with all power in his hand, and you went before the world and was water baptized, you classify as sheep. Now, I know I talked about the apostle, the evangelist, the pastor, the preacher, the teacher. You qualify as sheep now. Now, if you listened on last Wednesday, Pastor Dawn Mixon said something that really touched me. She talked about the sheep, which is something that I already knew, but she added something to it that helped. So if you get a chance throughout the week, go back to last week's message and listen to what she talks about the sheep. You see, sheep need a shepherd. They need someone to guide them. They need someone to teach them. You want to know why? Because sheep are humble animals. So if you accept the Christ, you're humble. Your eyesight, your vision is not really clear. Well, you may say, bro, Pastor, what you mean my vision's not clear? I don't wear glasses. I got 20/20 vision. If I do have glasses, I go to my eye doctor. My eye doctor got my eyesight looking real good. That's not the kind of sight I'm talking about. I'm talking about your spiritual sight.
Mm-hmm.
See, one thing about sheep in the natural, sheep are forever learning. You will, for as long as you are in the body of Christ, you will always be learning something new.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to step on some people's toes right about now when I say this. And I know what I'm saying, be very upfront. I don't care how many letters you got behind your name. I don't care if you have a doctorate in theology or whatever your degree is as far as the Bible is concerned. I truly believe in my heart that a master's degree in theology is a bogus degree. And the reason why I believe that is because you can, as you are on this earth, you will never master the Word of God. Never. Because the Scripture says you are sheep, and sheep are forever learning. Now, you may have decided to get that degree to prove to man that you have studied, but have you studied yourself approved unto God? Now, mind you, I've never been to a theological seminary. Do you burn that midnight oil? Do you study the Word of God and ask God for revelation? So if you're a sheep, you're always going to be learning something. And in that situation that you don't tolerate, in that situation that you don't know how to handle yourself in, you're sheep. It don't, what do them letters behind your name got to do with that? You still got to deal with it. And trust to say, them letters behind your name ain't helping that situation, is it? That's a rhetorical question. Don't answer. Please, please keep your microphones muted. If you can't say amen, say ouch. Now, we need a leader. And I've always said in times and time past, when you deal with the Bible is actually your roadmap to life. It's your user's manual. You need to use it. You need to study it. But now we're turning around. We're dealing with all of these elements and all of these situations, and we don't know how to deal with it. Well, we have to understand our adversary. Yes, the devil comes to seeking to kill and destroy. And if you are the type of person that you always seem like you're always under attack, that means you're living for God. You're living for the Lord. But Jesus said here in his words to his own disciples that he's sending you out amongst wolves. You are right now in wolf country if you're being attacked. See, they know you're a sheep. They know who you come to. And see, now they pray on you. They pray on you with this pride movement. They pray on you whatever the element is that bothers you because they know it does. See, you get some of them, like the wolves, what they'll do is they like to attack sheep. And they do it just for the sport of it. There was a commercial many years ago. It said you do it just for the taste of it. I think it was Diet Coke. You can go ahead and YouTube that. I believe it was just for the taste of it. You drink it just for the taste of it, Diet Coke. I think it was Coca-Cola commercial. And if you don't have a Coca-Cola for anything else, just for the taste of it. Just drink it just for the taste. And they attack it just because you see. They do it just for the sport of it. And see, what happens is, not just one's the front person. You've got one in the front, one in the back, and the other one just sitting back playing the background, just watching everything. And when they attack you, they attack from the top, the bottom, and the middle. But see, you got to be prepared for that. Well, how do you get prepared for that? When you get a chance, I believe you're going over to Luke chapter 4. When Jesus had come out of a fast and he was tempted of the devil, he came back with the word of God. That's your way you're going to have to fight. You have to come back with the word of God. You can't come out of flesh. You have to study this word for yourself, and that's what you got to come back with. Why? Because you are sheep. And you need to have, you cannot fight within yourself. If you try to fight within yourself and if you try to fight within flesh, Satan has you where he wants you. This world has you where they want to. You are operating in the system which they want it to be. But if you come back with the word of God, they're going to have to retreat. True story. Some time passed. I'm using myself as an example. Why? Because see, I'm not going to get offended by me. I'm not going to stop and not come back on Blog Talk Radio no more. Or I'm not going to stop going to church and listen to preachers. So that's why I use myself as an example. Not being braggadocious, but that's the reason why. Because I'm not going to get offended by me because I've been through it. I shared this with Brother Moderator. Keep your mic open. I just want the people to know the truth. I was brought into the office. And they brought a case before me, which I knew was bogus. And I said to him, I said, let me stop you right there. I said, now, if I have done something wrong, I can take my chastisement. Give it to me, I can take it. I said, however, if you're bringing something to me that's not right, I said, let me tell you something. I'm God's anointed. You know I'm God's anointed. You know I'm a pastor. You know I'm a preacher. You know I go on Wednesdays. I'm on the radio with Brother Moderate. You know this. So let me help you save yourself. Touch not my anointed. Do my prophet no harm. And I sat back and I've been quiet. Brother Moderate, do you remember me telling you that story?
I do.
Okay. And let me tell you what the outcome was. You could have heard a rat. Y'all know the rest of the phrase. They said, please go back to work. And I heard no more of it. You're sheep, people. You're sheep. And you have to stand on the word of God, not wavering. Because this world is coming at you. And they're trying to push their agenda on you. The pride community has already done it. They have already done it. Do you know that 97% of them are employed? Only 3% of that community is not employed. Because it's all about money. What does 1 Timothy, I believe it's 1 Timothy 6, 10. for the love of money is the root of all evil? Which is why some coveted after? Is it something like that? And they heir of the faith? I believe I'm quoting it right from the King James Version. I'm missing something else. Let me turn to it. 1 Timothy 6:10. Yeah, and pierced themselves with many sorrows. Yeah, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some cometh after, and they err of the faith, and they pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So sorrows coming to them. Now, I know you may have some family members who are of that community, and you love them dearly. And you're supposed to love them. You're supposed to love them. But you're not supposed to love the sin. Well, how do I address that? God will open the door and the opportunity to do so. God will open the door and opportunity for you to do so. However, when God opens the door and opportunity, you must have the word of God in you to tell him. Not speak of yourself, but speak of the word. Remember, you sheep. And when you come to them, you must have a tough mind. What's the tough mind part? The scripture. Your mind must be tough enough to hold this word. But when you deliver God's word, which is sharper than any two-edged sword, I believe that's in the Bible too. I don't have it right now. Is that a book? I think it's a book of Hebrews, 4th chapter somewhere. Is it 4:12? And what you actually have to do is when you bring it to them, you got to bring it to them harmless as a dove. No, it's not 4:12. You gotta bring it to them. Does anybody know what that scripture is at? I just speaking off the top of my head. That's not it. If you have it, you want to look for it, you can please bring it up. But you must be harmless as a dove. But you have to bring it to them in love. See, because many of us want to be so bold to say that we know the word of God, and in the process, we lose our witness. When I was on my job and I called Brother Moderator on my break and he witnessed to me, you also must understand who you are, whose you are, and who you represent. And every time they see you, you represent God. And every time you see them or they see you, you represent God. You may not see them, but they see you. And every time they see you, you represent God by your disposition. And many of us say, well, I'm my own man. I'm my own woman. Now that you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are sheep. And you're in the midst of wolves. You have to have a way to handle a situation. But the scripture said you must be wise as a serpent. We said, well, what does that mean? And I said this before. If you get a chance, go back to March 8th of 2018. I actually go into detail about the serpent. But for those of you who are on right now for the first time and you didn't hear that message, a serpent has a rough exterior body. For those of you who may be listening in the South and this may be snake season around there. Because they can weather, I believe the Lord made it that way, to weather the storm and the sunshine whenever it happens. But notice something about a serpent. No one wants to be called a snake. But trust me and believe, you do want some snake-like characteristics. And somebody said right now, I felt in the spirit, I don't want to be no snake-like characteristics. Yes, you do. You're the main person I'm talking to right now. See, because based upon what we have talked about, you want some snake-like characteristics. Because, see, in a time of conflict, Let me tell you what a serpent will do. He or she will raise his head upright and watch until the trouble passes on by. That's a snake. Will raise his head upright in a time of danger and will wait until the danger passes on by. But a snake or a serpent will not attack unless it feels provoked. And then at that time, the mind serpent of a sacred serpent or snake will launch a counterattack. That's the only time a serpent attacks, when they feel threatened and they launch a counterattack. Now you may say, well, I've done nothing to that serpent for that serpent to attack me. Well, see, the serpent actually gets his or her information from the ground in which you walk. They can tell by the vibrations of which they feel from the ground whether they are threatened or not. How many times have you had somebody come into the room and you felt their spirit before anything ever happened? Or as I like to say, as one of the young ladies on my job said to me, how anything just jumps off. You already know what's going to happen. You already feel something's going to happen. You don't know exactly, but you feel something, and it's not of a good nature. So you must be wise as a serpent and not necessarily launch the attack. Let's go a little bit further. When I was in Hackensack Public School System in 8th grade, I think her name was Ms. Krasinski, and we had to study the flag and the preamble. And if you take a look at that eagle on the flag, on the coins or whatever it is that the flag is on, that eagle actually has two things in its claws, I would call them. It has arrows, and I believe it has olive branches. And if you notice, the eagle is looking towards the olive branch because we want peace. We in America, we don't like to go to war, but we will if we have to. We will if we have to. And I say that because I was a military soldier. We want to keep peace, but we'll go to war if we have to, and we're going to bring the pain. Just like if those of you have been actually paying attention to the news, when we got shot down on the drone, and it's been reported, I wasn't there. It's been reported that attack was supposed to launch, and the president said, no, shut it down. How many people are going to be killed? And one of the generals said about 100 people. He stopped it. They made a report thereof saying, no. That wasn't a man-made craft. It was no man person was in there. Stand down. Some say that he should have did it. His political poll would have went up. Some say that gives us being weak. See, you have to use wisdom in many situations. Now, what's his mindset there in the White House? I don't know. But I want to use it as an example of right now the head is upright and we're trying to watch the trouble pass on by. Now, don't think for one second that we didn't see another drone in that same area for our reconnaissance, because we have. Was I there? No. But nobody? No, but we have. We're watching until the trouble passes on by. And if something happens again, we will get the green light, or you will get the green light to launch your attack. But when you get the green light to launch your attack, don't launch your attack out of self. Be spirit-led. And the words that come out of your mouth, let it be the word of God, just like Jesus did, I told you back in Luke 4. Now, I know I've done much talking, and I really wanted to drive this home, and normally I would open the microphones up a whole lot earlier than what I have. But at this stage right now, I want to open the mics up for you for any thoughts, comments, or questions. The lines are open. Is anybody there?
Good evening, sir. I got on late, so it's almost like you're in midair. But I'm listening to your word, and it's very interesting in what you're saying about us and the world and how we need to go about doing things spiritually. Looking beyond what the flesh is dictating and going into the spirit realm, and that's where our real fight is anyway. But I wish I had came on earlier. Forgive me, but it sounds interesting what your topic, I don't even know your topic, the conversation, the little bit of conversation that I've already heard. But God bless you, sir.
God bless you. Well, Sis Preach, you was actually on the very first time I was on the radio. Remember March, I think March 8th, I said, March 8th of last year, the Tough Mind and Tender Heart? This is the same scripture,
okay,
but it's from a different angle,
okay,
of what's going on today, of how we are to govern ourselves.
Excuse me.
Okay. Is there anybody else that wants to ask? I thought I heard
you're someone. Muffled, whoever, and whoever's in the background, you're sounding kind of, you're muffled.
Hey, Ella, it's Reverend Robinson. I was
Reverend
tuning
in the house.
And I was listening to my brother's message. And, you know, I heard him say that we are like snakes. And as afraid as I am, and I am in the South, and I see many of them, and I don't like them, I don't fool with them, but I never, and I appreciate your analogy, because I never looked at myself as being like a snake. Not mean and not low down and not dirty or whatever a snake might be.
Pastor Robinson, you're coming in very, you're breaking up with your wording, and you always have an interesting interpretation in how you bring things. You're coming in broken up, and I want all the audience, we have the lines are full, and I want them to be able to hear clearly what you're saying.
Okay, Elder, I was out in my garage. I was out in my garage working out, so, and I was listening to. Hello?
I hear you, Brother Pastor. I hear you, brother. Go ahead.
Yeah, we hear you.
Okay.
Pastor.
Okay, I was out in the garage working out, and I was listening to the message. And like I said, even though I am in the South and I see a lot of snakes, I never looked at, and I appreciate it, brother, the way you broke that down. I never looked at myself as being like a snake, or a snake being like us, or however you want to put it. But I just wanted to comment and say that was an awesome analogy. And not that I'm going to look at snakes any different, I will look at myself a little different and you know, it's kind of weird how you brought that out, because it's funny how God created man and God created nature, and in some senses, we are like nature. And I do appreciate that. Like I said, that analogy, it was great.
You know, piggybacking off of Pastor Robinson, God bless you, sir. You know, I was thinking about that snake and what we know about a snake and how the snake moves. I see why God says be wise as snakes, but yet harmless as doves. I see that.
Right.
Because in the spirit, I see we know in the natural how a snake moves very quietly and very slowly and when he has his target on in sight, you know, before he attacks, he looks and he sizes them up. Yes. And then he up on his when he's ready to attack, I believe he rears his head. You know, we should always watch, move, and pray. We should always watch on God. The Bible says walk circumspectly. We need to not only walk cautiously, but walk wisely and yet harmless. Like when we even speak to someone, I heard what you said, brother pastor, preacher. I heard what you said about how when we speak to someone, we shouldn't be so basically coarse in attack mode, but harmless as dove, but yet profound in the word of God, giving them the word with love. And even in the reprimand, give it to them in love, because that's how God does. And I don't know if I'm going off into a tangent or anything.
Go off in it. You on it. You on point. Go off in it.
You know, but that's how God, he wanted us to be wise like he is. We shouldn't even be, and you said about the snake skin, we shouldn't be thin-skinned. You know, the Lord told me years ago, he says, Edna, don't be so easily offended. They offended me. Don't you be so easily offended. That means don't be in your own feeling.
That's right.
See things in a spiritual manner that, looking beyond people's faults when they step on your toes and see the need that they may have. They may have that need for prayer or for an encouraging word or for even that reprimand. But still, I'm going off into a tangent, but still be...
It's all right. It's all right.
Be cautious and wise and harmless and be on point.
Minister Mahan,
you're not going off into a tangent, and I want to tell you why you're not going off in a tangent.
Come on,
go back. Go back, Sister Preach. Go back, Sister Preach, and go back to May 8th of last year. Not
yes.
March 8th of last year.
Yeah.
And listen to yourself.
What?
Listen to yourself. March 8th of last year, the first time I was on this radio, and you will see what you said today because it's going to be on the archives.
And listen to what you said
a little over last year, and you'll see how much you have grown with your thick skin.
Wow. Thank you. I received that. Praise God. I received
Amen.
That, sir.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But we in the body of Christ, we all need to listen to what you're saying about this is profound. We do need to be not only about our Father's business, but with loving kindness and yet wise.
And
yet
and
peaceful.
And the multitude of his tender mercy.
God says follow peace with all men. You know, we have to be ready, armed, and dangerous. All those rolled up into one, God has created us to be, just like him.
And just to cut in on the light, fantastic. I was paying attention to what you were saying, Minister Mahan. You know, we as Christians, we are so easily provoked by such small things.
Yeah.
And then I'm going back to the snake. I don't even like talking about snakes, but Pastor, you brought this in here, so you brought him in the house, so we're gonna deal with him.
but we
do need to be more like that. And as he said, snake does not attack unless they are provoked, feel threatened. And we as Christians, we do, a lot of us, and I don't know how any of you all are, but a lot of us, we have thin skin.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And such little things bother us, and we feel like that we are under attack. So we go into a defensive mode, and we start attacking. We go into an offensive mode, and then we start attacking. Which is not what God intended for us to do. And I know it's hard. It's hard. That's one of the hardest things about being a Christian, because the Bible tells us, Jesus says, that we should turn the other cheek, that we should not be violent, that we should not be argumentative. But that's one of the hard things about being a Christian. But I think that like the preacher said, like the pastor said, that we need to be like snakes. We need to sit back and wait. If somebody actually attack you physically, then you are to defend yourself. Let me tell you something. I do this a lot at work on my jobs. I see it quite often. I felt under attack one night at work when I just said a safety violation to one of my coworkers. He was performing a safety violation, and we are to address it in a manner that, you know, to remind them to wear their safety equipment. Well, I was told to do the weirdest thing, and I can't reiterate those words, but he told me to do this and do that and that and that, and I felt like I was being attacked. But you know what? God has given me so much humility that all I've done was just walk away. And I said, Lord, I don't have to deal with this, you know. I could have went into the offensive mode, and I could have went right back at him, you know. But it didn't make sense, and you know. And that's where if anybody is listening, that's where I have grown as a Christian or a pastor or a preacher. That's where I, a man of God or whatever. That's where I have grown, is not to attack those who attack.
That's good. That's good. I hear mother on there. I think you know what's good about that. What you're saying, Pastor Robinson, is that when you were attacked like that, and the Lord was telling me that, and I was sharing that with the prayer that we have at our church at 12 o'clock. You know, and the Lord reminded me of this thing. He said, people are so busy looking one way, the devil's coming another way. The devil's coming another way. And they're looking so much one way, but the devil's coming another way. So what we have to do is we have to be, our minds, our eyes have to be open and in the spiritual realm. Because if we allow us to be in the flesh as much as we can be, because it's a free will thing. We can go there when we want to go there. Yes, we can, if anybody believes that, because we're not always crossing the T and dotting the I. But thank God for the Holy Spirit that when sometimes when it comes up, he shuts our mouth. But what we have to always remember is that while we're fighting against one another, the enemy is sitting back like a Svengali, laughing, saying, I got them now. They fighting against one another over that big piece of chicken that don't mean nothing. But they gonna fight over who's going to suck the bone. But here he's laughing. He's laughing and saying, I got them now. They worried about the chicken, and here's the people out there dying, and they fighting over the big piece of chicken. So we gotta not only keep our minds clear and lay before the Lord and seek his face instead of everybody else's face, and seek his will instead of our own will, and seek his agenda instead of our own agenda. He says he's called us, and I remember saying this one time before, we are the forerunners of Jesus Christ.
My God.
And what we're supposed to do is compel men and women to come unto God.
All right.
But we're too busy getting offended, be easily provoked, And what you exemplify, Pastor, was the fruit of the Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. That long-suffering, that temperance, that love, the fruit of the Spirit that you possess showed himself. Notice I said not it, showed himself.
Uh-huh.
Showed himself through you. I'm done. Praise God.
Let me ask a question. I was sitting here thinking, and Brother Preacher, you said, Sister Mahan, you said that we should be as harmless as a serpent, but wise as a dove. So why is it that we that God says that? So why is it that we think serpents or snakes or whatever is so mean and so terrible and so that they will attack? I'm just asking, great question,
Brother Pastor. Great question. I'm going to address it this way. First of all, it's all in your learning. It's all in your learning, all in your teaching. And I'm going to take it back to something. I'm going to take it to something very basic.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Lord, time is running out, so let me be very quick. I may have to fly some money for the broadcast, so Brother Moderator, come talk to me.
I got you back, bro.
All right. Now, let's look at it. It's all about our learning and all about our teaching. Now, I'm getting ready to blow your mind on something, okay?
Mm-hmm.
No one answer this question. It's a rhetorical question. Please do not answer the question.
Okay.
It's a rhetorical question. What is the purpose of a dictionary? Don't answer it. No one, please answer it. No one. What is the purpose of a dictionary? Let's say it one more time for the Holy Ghost. What is the purpose of a dictionary?
Mm-hmm.
We have all been taught that the purpose of a dictionary is to tell you what a word means.
Mm-hmm.
Not true. That's not the purpose of a dictionary, but that's what we've been taught.
Uh-huh.
That's not the purpose of a dictionary. So, what's the purpose of a dictionary? I'll tell you a little bit later. Give me one moment. You want to know why do we think about the serpent? Be wise of a serpent and harmless as a dove. You twisted it. You said be wise as a dove but harmless as a serpent. No, it's wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. But I know your heart was in the right place. So now the thing is this. The reason why we have been taught that, or we believe, I should say, that the serpent is bad, because we've been taught a serpent is bad. We've been taught that. You in the South, you admittedly said you don't like snakes. I don't like them either. Okay? I don't like them. I took my family many years ago when I was married. Many years ago, we went to Orlando, Florida. And I tried to break my phobia of snakes. So what did I do? I walked over to a snake cage with the biggest snake that there was. And it was an anaconda, the heaviest snake in the world. And I walked over to that cage, and I said, I'm going to break this phobia today. And I was going through it. The first thing when I was married at the time, my wife said to me, what are you doing over there with the snake? You know you don't like snakes. But, you know, I was over there.
Hmm.
And it fed back in my mind, I don't like snakes, and I got from over there.
Oh, wow.
So it's all in what you have taught. Now, even though I preach about the snake, I read about the snake, till this day, I don't want to see a picture of a snake. I don't. If you and I've said this before on Blog Talk Radio, and I said it before and I'll say it again. You bring a snake in front of me, it's 100% chance I'm going in your face.
I know that's right.
Okay, it's 100% chance I'm going in your face. I don't like snakes, but I am also going through the process of understanding them. Many of us believe that because we don't understand it. Now you can understand it and still not like something.
Mm-hmm.
But see, God made the snake.
There it is. Right. That's right. That
and
is.
When God made everything, God said it was good.
It was good. That's right.
Yeah.
So that's the teaching That's the teaching in which we got the snakes are bad. So snakes are not bad. Is we were taught that. That's why I'm trying to break that with myself.
Yeah.
Okay, so don't think, Reginald City Miles Pastor got it going on. No, I'll tell you, I don't like snakes. Bring a snake to me. I'm going in your grill. I'm going up in there. Because I take it as a violation. I'm telling you, I don't like them.
Right.
Now, what's the purpose of a dictionary? I'm going to answer that question for you. We've been taught the purpose of a dictionary is to tell you what a word means. That's not the purpose of a dictionary. The purpose of a dictionary is to tell you how a word is being used in the English language.
I was just going to say.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I can prove it to you right now. Now, listen to me very well. This is an example. Whatever way you take this, don't take it the negative way. If I tell you right, and I talked about it earlier today, if I told you right now I'm gay, what's the first thing you're going to think of?
Yeah, you're going to think bad.
Mm-hmm. You're going to think I'm homosexual. But right now, I'm just as happy as I can be.
Because
years ago, the word gay meant happy.
That's right.
Go get an old unabridged dictionary, let's say about maybe 25, 30 years ago. Look up the word gay. Yeah. The very first word would be happy.
I was just going to say the perspective.
Go get one today and look up gay. They're going to talk about homosexuality and lesbian. So it's how it's being used in the English language.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
Any other questions or concerns?
No, I was just going to say the perspective because, you know, snakes, because snake in the Bible, you know, God talks about the serpent, the snake, you know, and in a negative way but it's the perspective. And then he turns around and says, be wise as a serpent and harmless as doves. So we have to put it in its rightful perspective. Mm-hmm. You know, how we're using it or how we're using something. And it can be in a positive or a negative way. But at the bottom line is it will always be God's way.
Did you say without saying rightly dividing the word of truth? Did you just say that?
No, but you just did.
Did you just paraphrase scripture? Rightly dividing the word of truth?
That's what I
heard.
Praise God, sir. You just did, but yes, it is. Rightly dividing the word of truth.
So now, and another thing I want to add on also. Now, we are not supposed to speak out of flesh, out of ourselves. However, let me address that, and I'm going to close up. I'm going to shut it down for myself.
Okay.
We are supposed to let God fight our battles.
Yeah.
Now, I want you to look at this perspective thereof.
Mm-hmm.
When you have the word of God in you, and you are in a tight situation like Jesus was in Luke 4, Jesus didn't speak of himself.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus spoke the word of God.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He gave us that example. So when you actually quote the Bible, you're speaking the word of God, and God is actually doing the fighting with his own word. You're just a vessel being used.
Amen. Amen. That's good. That's
against
good.
The enemy. So don't feel that, you know, I can't say this because it's coming from me I'm going to offend. No, you're speaking the word of God, and you're not judging because the word of God already said it's wrong.
My God. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
The word of God already said it's wrong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, people said to me, well, Miles or Pastor Miles, you judging? I'm not judging.
Mm-mm.
The word of God said it's wrong.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to hold it to my charge, then you hold it to my charge. But guess what?
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm in good standing with the Father. I got to cut it to a close. Got to do things decently and in order. I'm four minutes over. Brother moderator, is in your hands.
Amen, sir. God bless you.
Amen. Amen.
Bless you as well.
Definitely, an interesting topic, an interesting conversation. It's definitely interesting. I just wanted to, you know, just kind of to ad lib in closing. And it's just basically how I look at, you know, the Word of God. And there are so many examples in the Bible of things that have happened. And what the consequence was, or how some who were men and women of God handled the situation, you know.
Yeah.
And Pastor Miles, you made a comment in terms of fighting our battles for us, and I want to say that's in Exodus. In Exodus, it talks about that, you know, fighting the battles for us, and it states that if God is going to fight our battles for us, then what we are to do is to be still, and that's one of the hardest things
that's good.
In human nature to do is to be still. When we are in human nature, in our human nature, there's always a fight going on in our spirit world.
Mm-hmm.
In our spirit world. One is trying to be peaceful, and the other one wants to just get crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But if we entertain the crazy side, the confused side, we only draw confusion. But if we follow the word of God, if we follow the word of God, and if God says to be still, then we have to have that faith of knowing that it doesn't make a difference what it looks like by the human nature.
Mm-hmm.
God is going to handle it.
Amen.
I had a testimony where it was almost like I thought I was doomed.
Mm.
But I continued to speak the word of God.
Yeah.
And
amen.
It always worked out in my favor.
Mm-hmm.
So God allows us to go through experiences. I call them growing pains. God allows us to go through experiences. And that growth is to learn us to trust. Who are we supposed to trust? We're supposed to trust God. See, because when we're in the world, but we're not of the world. So we're always going to be attacked. We're always going to come against confusion. We're always going to come against anger. We're always going to come against things that's going to try to stir us up from who we are. See, because when we're walking, and here's where I see it, when we're walking, when the enemy of darkness sees us coming, they see light. And when light is coming, they see you far off. Right now, before you get to where you're going, they're ready to attack you. Why? So that they can shut that light off. And what I mean by shut that light off is shut your relationship off with the word of God so that we don't trust God. And in Exodus it says he will fight for you.
Mm-hmm.
All we need to do is be still. Exodus 14:14 says that.
Mm-hmm.
All we have to do is be still. And that's one of the hardest things. We're always ready to fight.
Yes.
We're always ready to attack what we believe.
Mm-hmm.
But if we trust in God, if we faith and believe in God, then we have to be faithful enough to know that God is going to handle it. And once we know that God is going to handle it, guess what? We're moving on to our next assignment.
Because
it has already been taken care of. And to me, that's where I believe that God wants us. That type of faith. If I ask any one of you, and I know we're going over, and Pastor Miles, yes, I will send you a bill. As we're going over, tell me anybody out there, when you get ready to sit down in your chair, how many of you take time to inspect that chair? How do you know that chair is going to hold you up?
When you get ready to sit down,
how do you know that chair is going to hold your weight?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you don't trust that chair, you're going to look and make sure that it's able to hold your weight. But what we do is automatically we trust that chair is going to hold our weight. And we just sit down. And that's where God wants us. God, when he says be still, that's what it is. God says be still. And when we have faith enough to know that we can be still and God is going to handle it, that's exactly what happens.
That's good. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
It always works in our favor. And I'm sorry to talk too long on that. But
that's good.
We all have our interpretations and relationship with God. And I'm just speaking mine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happens. With anyone who is
is missing. When we're bringing light, there's always darkness out there that's trying to shut that light off.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's my take on that, you know, in terms
that's
of
good.
Wisdom, being wise, wherever we are, being wise. To me, wisdom is leaning and trusting on God. Because once we begin to handle it on our own, guess what? We put God on the side and said, okay, God, I'll get you in a minute, okay? When I need you, I'll get you, but let me handle this. Let me take care of this.
My God.
It satisfies the flesh.
That's good.
I just wanted to make a comment. On that.
That's good. I know we're over. I'm not going to say anything, but that was good.
Well, I know, Brother Moderator, I know I said it was in your hands. And go ahead and send me the bill. I don't mind. But I just have one request. I don't mind planting seed in Blog Talk Radio. But no, I got to clarify this. I said I was going to be quiet, but I can't. I said I was going to do it last time, and I didn't. I talked about Blog Talk Radio, and I love Blog Talk Radio. However, Blog Talk Radio is the vessel. I have prayed for a ministry to be raised up, and it is your ministry.
God, yes.
It is your ministry,
that's right.
Brother Moderator, that I actually prayed for all the years. And I told you when I talked to you privately, I was going to say that the last time, but I didn't. So I repent of that right now. I hope you received that.
Yeah.
But it's your ministry. The New Beginnings ministry. I've been praying for it for a long time. And then when I met you through my dad in the ministry, Bishop Larry Palmer, and he told me to come on, and you received me, I'm thankful for your ministry, Reverend Sister Doctor, your wife. Thank you.
Yes.
And I'm saying that all across the land and country. Your ministry opened this door up for me to actually reach people in such a capacity that I never thought I would. And I thank you in the name of Jesus. So I proudly received that bill.
Amen. To God be
the
glory.
Amen.
May God bless you.
We're going to close out right now, and I'm going to ask Mother Womack, if you would just close us out in prayer. I hear your voice.
I can
hear.
Please.
Can I just say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
For the word that went for tonight. I thought I was just going to listen and wasn't going to be able to say nothing. But Heavenly Father, our God in heaven, we thank you tonight for what our ears have heard. We thank you, God, how you used a man of God to break it down, to explain to us that in our humanness, God, if we just be still and listen and let you fight our battle, help us, God, to not wear our feelings on our sleeves and so be so touchy that we can't say anything in love and in truth, God. Help us, God, to be wise as duffers and gentle, God. You know what I'm trying to say.
Yes,
I ain't got to excite. I'll stand it up. God, in the name of Jesus, God, move on the men and women of God that come. Thank you for a platform where we can come and share the word, and the listeners that can come and get fed, God, and know how to react in the response of different situations that rise up in our lives, God. Help us to be light in darkness, God. Help us always to speak the truth in love. Thank you, God, for this radio broadcast.
Thank you
for the moderators. Thank you for the pastors. Thank you how they broke it down, God. As I listen and I said, God, I thank you that I can come to a place, God, and I can learn and I can be fed the word of God. Thank you for Pastor Robinson. God, I've been praying for him as he worked on his job at night. And I remember that I kept saying, God, what was the season? He said, it's not a dangerous job. We got a dangerous job as we step out. God, we have to always put our armor on and be ready, God, to give a word
say
in
that.
Season and out of season. In the mighty name of God, now, God, as we go to our separate places, God, I ask that you be with us and go with us. God, help us to always to be able to give a word, God, to encourage somebody, to lift somebody up in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you for the opportunity, God. And I pray, God, that we always be humble and loving and kind.
Yes.
And if there's anything that I say in this prayer, God, you know every need, you know every circumstances, God, that we might face, God, even as we sleep, lay down and sleep tonight, God. And if it be your will, we rise up in the morning, that we rise up with the spirit of God,
ooh,
the armor of God, ready to God to go to battle, because we are in a battle. We are in a spiritual war. God, in the mighty name of Jesus, help us to be more like you and less of like us, in the name of Jesus, God.
In the name of Jesus.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, God.
For what you're going to do in and through us.
Yeah.
Bless this ministry, this broadcast.
Yeah.
God, I can see that you're going to take it further.
Huh.
You're going to take it further. And more and more people are going to come. And more and more people are going to be blessed in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Now, God, I thank you, God. If there's anything in me that would hinder this prayer, God, I ask that you forgive me. Because it's my desire, God, that when we pray that you would hear us when we pray, God. Now watch your word and keep us, God, until we come back next Wednesday, God. Bless our families and our loved ones, God. Bless health issues or anything that might realize who's in charge tonight, who's the keeper. Carry us, God, when we can't carry ourselves. And God, we'd be so glad to give you all the praise and all the glory.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name, I pray.
In
Amen.
Jesus.
And Jesus. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank
Hallelujah.
You, God.
Thank you, Lord.
My mind.
begin.